Hello and welcome to the Book Boys podcast with Max and Eloy.
Yeah, yeah. Which episode number are we?
12.
Good job.
That's right, that's right. I think we should start off with a quick disclaimer that we promised we'd be doing it more regularly. We promised there'd be some consistency, but alas, we can no longer keep making that promise.
We're unsuccessful.
We are.
And your cat is playing with a little piece of rope.
Yeah, there's two cats in the room, so that might come up quite often. Anyway, I just wanted to say that we can't promise when the next episode will be out, but we can promise that there will be a next episode.
We'll try our best.
At some point.
Right, we're thinking next week, though, because I have a couple of ideas
what exactly. We could do. And so. We're also working on doing a longer form, because today we're talking about another short story, but we're thinking about doing another novel.
Yeah, we have a couple of ideas.
We have a couple of plans.
I mean, if you have any suggestion, guys.
Please contact us on the Book Boys Instagram.
Twitter, you know, we have all of that.
Yeah, we still have Twitter.
It's not dead yet, you know, it's still surviving. But today, what short story are we reading? Because you find this.
I found it.
I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, we've been, obviously we've covered a few of Birthday Girl, Norwegian Wood. We've talked about Haruki Murakami several times.
Famous Japanese author.
Indeed. And I thought a short story would be appropriate, and for us, quite frankly, it's easy to record as well. And I found the story called UFO in Kushiro.
Yep.
A place in Japan.
Published in the New Yorker.
So yeah, it was. I believe it was published in 2001.
Yeah, inspired by the 1995 earthquake in Kobe.
Yeah.
Kobe.
It's like Kobe beef.
It's not like Kobe Bryant.
No, it's not.
Okay. Oh, Kobe beef. I have heard of that. They feed them like
Kobe.
Yeah, very good. Very good. And then they massage the cows as well. Right? Yes, I think. Mm.
So I don't know if based on, but the earthquake that happened in 1995 plays a rather significant role in the story. And inspired by the earthquake, I guess.
The earthquake, yeah. Why don't you give us a short summary on what the story is about? Because, you know, it's your story.
I read it not that long ago. I mean, like, within the last hour.
I read it 2 days ago, I think.
Basically, what the story is about is a man whose name is Kimura, and his wife, following the earthquake for, I think, 6 days, just sits behind the TV and watches the news. And she's watching it when he gets up in the morning and goes to work. And
when
she's
he gets
still watching
back.
It when he gets back. And apparently she never eats, never goes to the bathroom, all of these things.
Yeah.
And then after, I believe it was 6 days, suddenly when he comes back from work one night, she's gone.
Yeah, and there's a letter.
There's a short note, I believe. And he just...
Yes.
Let me see.
Which says, I think it says, when I'm around you, I feel like I'm around air or something like that.
Yeah,
a piece
it's basically
of air.
Kind of... she's saying to him why she can't be with him.
Exactly. Well, it's not really a reason. It's more that she can't take. She just leaves, and it's very out of the blue for our main character, who's completely lost. He's like, "What? Why did this happen?"
Exactly, but he doesn't dwell on it for very long.
Well, he doesn't outwardly. He doesn't dwell on it.
Yeah, and I also think that's just because of the format. You know, it's a different.
Yeah, for sure.
To fit that kind of deep.
But you do learn a lot about the main character. It says he was very like playboy, kind of handsome guy in college,
and then when he found his wife, he finally settled down.
And people didn't understand why he got with his wife, because she was very, she wasn't very pretty, she wasn't very interesting. Well, that's
she's described as having a very boring personality and having a very
exactly
ordinary
and
look.
And but he does say that when he's under the same roof with her, he can finally sleep well and he feels content.
Yeah, there's some peace that he finds within himself,
which I'm not sure can be compared with true love. You know, it seems like he kind of settled, but I don't know.
Yeah, but he does say that there's this kind of unexplainable feeling
for sure. Yeah.
Anyway, the rest of the story, he then, a friend from work asks him to go deliver a package to his sister.
Yeah, a very light
friend's sister.
Yeah, package.
Yeah, the package, it's never revealed to us what's in the package, but it needs to be hand delivered. So he goes to, what is the place called where he goes to?
It's far by plane, I think. We can find it. Well, he goes to see the sister of his...
Oh, he goes to Kushiro.
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 Yeah,
what UFO in Kushiro
as well. Oh, Kushiro. Oh, yeah, of course. Where, so he has to give it to the sister of the co-worker.
Yeah.
And when he arrives, he meets the sister and one of her friends, I believe.
Yeah, that's a friend.
And it's quite an awkward, I guess, conversation, the way they talk, the way they interact. It's quite, he doesn't know what to say.
Yeah. And he even says at one point, like, what am I doing?
Yeah, they make a couple of jokes. It's a fun time. And
they go to a hotel.
Yeah.
After they've gotten some food to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sister of the coworker leaves, and the friend stays.
Yeah.
And then first they're watching TV, and then they talk, and then eventually they attempt to have sex, but he's
unable to.
He's unable to. Yeah.
And he says it's because of his wife.
Yeah. Well, that's the suggestion she makes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And I believe at that point he also asks what was in the package that he brought.
Yeah.
And the woman says something.
Because his wife who left him says there's nothing inside you.
Yeah.
And then the woman in Kashuro says,
you brought what was inside you.
Yeah, what was inside you was in the package, and now it's gone forever because the sister took the package with.
Exactly.
With her. And he kind of freaks out when she says that.
Yeah, he really panics. And then you realize, well, I thought that was going to be like the end of the story. Like, it ends there. But then the sister is like, no, it's just a joke. Don't worry about it. And then they just kind of...
I'm not sure how true that was. Because maybe she was just kind of scared of him because of the way he reacted.
Maybe.
He also says that he felt that he wanted to inflict violence on her.
Yeah, they do say that.
And maybe she was just put off by that so much that she was like, oh, she covered it up. Like, no, it's just a joke.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's the case. Maybe it was also a twist from Murakami. He's like, no, that's not actually the moral of the story, you know?
Yeah, but that brings me to the question, what is the moral of the story here? Because when I...
Well, I think that's kind of the point. There isn't really a moral to the story. It's...
But there's something going on with the UFO, and that someone else's wife was obsessed with that, and then she disappeared, and then this...
Maybe it's that people just up and leave out of nowhere sometimes. And sometimes it's unexplainable. Sometimes it's for random reasons.
But they seem to be putting it in relation to this UFO sighting and the Earth.
Maybe it's also like a metaphor because of it's like a big change in their lives, and one of the couple can't cope with it and decides to leave. So the earthquake could be like, it seemed to me like it was definitely like a metaphor for what he felt inside. So it was very something very rough that was going on in the background, for example, in his head, and that it caused for this situation to happen.
But what was going on in his head then?
Well, maybe there was some sort of conflict.
But that wasn't explained in the story.
No, it wasn't, but I'm just...
You're just assuming.
I'm just finding ideas.
The ending of the story is... Yeah, so the woman who he's going to have sex with, it says, Shimao, which is her name, traced a complicated design on Kimura's chest with her fingertip, as if casting a magic spell. But really, she said, you're just at the beginning. And this is talking about, she asks him if he feels he's come a long way.
Yeah.
And
he does feel.
He has physically come a long way to this.
But he says he does, because in the beginning he said he did, when he first met her after coming off the plane, he says, I don't feel like I've come a long way.
Yeah.
And she says, oh, it's because the plane nowadays, they go so quick.
Exactly.
And here he says, I have come a long way. So it's more like
more
his spiritual journey that he has come a long way since the plane, I guess.
But that makes me, has he really? Because, well, I guess that's what...
Well, he's gone through experiences with this woman, Shimao. Maybe he's just learning to love someone else, or to at least appreciate someone else than his wife, because he says he's completely shut himself off since he...
That's true.
And ...has been with
his wife. He also laughs for the first time.
Exactly. He says, I haven't laughed in such a long time.
So maybe the whole story is just kind of about...
Getting over.
Yeah.
A big...
And it's only been 2 weeks... And he feels like he's come a long way already, but in reality, it's just the beginning.
It's just the beginning, because it's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
I guess relationships in general can be applied here as well. But yeah, the earthquake I thought was very interesting as well, because we don't learn anything about the wife in the end. We just learn that she has family far away that she likes to visit.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting too. It's very much focused on Kimura.
But the sister of the co-worker... says that the co-worker told her that his wife had died.
Oh yeah, no, it says has left or something like that, and she assumed that it meant, and she pushes it quite a bit, which makes him uncomfortable.
Like, I must have misheard it, so I think that the co-worker did actually say that she died.
Maybe the woman died and he's just like in denial or
and
something like that.
Trying to kind of piece together what the story was about, because I often have a difficult time accepting that a story is just what you see.
Linear, yeah, yeah.
Maybe, and also the way that he described her just sitting in front of the TV and not eating and not drinking.
Maybe it was like a sickness or something like
maybe
that.
Maybe she really was, she died
already
in the
gone.
Earthquake.
Oh, maybe, oh, in the earthquake, you mean. That could be an interesting view to approach.
But that is kind of contrasted because he calls her parents and they say, yeah, she's here, but she doesn't want to talk to you.
Yeah. But maybe that's just imagining, you know, he's gone through a lot. That could be a good argument to have, especially, yeah, since he leaves.
It's also a little far-fetched.
Of course, but maybe that's what he wanted as well. He wanted there to be multiple interpretations.
Yeah.
I thought the UFO story was pretty interesting. It was a good addition to the story. I thought it was quite light-hearted.
It was a bear story as well.
Yeah.
Where it was implied that this woman, Shimao, who he attempts to sleep with, it implies that her boy, because she tells a story about how they went into this forest to go on a hike.
Yeah, on a hill, yeah.
And they need to constantly ring this bell to, so that the bears didn't know that they were coming.
Yeah.
But then she kind of implies that he died.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't really notice that. But I guess that would make both of them, you know, she knows, that's why she says there's still a long way to go, because she's gone through it herself.
That's
and
interesting.
She's like, I know what it feels like, and maybe that's why he feels so comfortable with her in the end.
Yeah.
But I thought she was very interesting as well. She's a very open character, very like outgoing, very contrary to his wife in a way, because his wife seemed very closed off, very quiet.
And she says the same. There's a few kind of parallels with what Shimao says to him and what his wife wrote in the note.
Yeah, for sure.
Call that. But she says, like, I'm sure there's a lot of women who would understand you and love you.
Yeah.
And that's what the wife also wrote in the note.
Yeah.
So I think there's something more going on here, that it's so loosely defined that it's kind of up to the reader to interpret that.
Exactly. I think that's the point of a short story as well.
Yeah, we've been reading a lot of short stories recently.
Yeah, and we're kind of finding a link at this point. They often end with an open end, with very much it's up to the reader to interpret what's
which
going on.
The exact same thing with Birthday Girl, which was, I think, a little bit longer than
exactly.
This.
But also another comparison I very much drew was the main character of this short story and also Norwegian Wood. Well, I thought it was very interesting.
I wanted to talk about that as well.
Yes.
Mainly because Murakami almost always chooses a male character as his main.
Exactly.
Character.
And he makes him very, I don't want to say relatable, but very, like, I could put myself in those shoes.
Yeah. But it's always a very reserved character and always very kind of gentleman-like.
And yeah, and very, like,
nice, respectful.
Exactly.
Person.
Not someone with any intense, like,
no
political views or like
he's
aggressive. There's no extremism, and maybe that's why he's so successfully like written so many stories, so that he knows what the reader can relate to or maybe can compare himself to.
But then there are extremes
in other
secondary, very very vast extremes in the
surrounding characters, which I think maybe that's what his point is. It's that I don't really care about the main character. It's more about how he interacts with other people.
That's just the vehicle that you're taking to go through the story, so to speak.
Exactly. It allows you to see through those eyes what the character sees.
Yeah, and I think that's it's so popular nowadays to have a story in which you can, this whole concept of being able to relate yourself.
Exactly.
And that's just something that people long for, I think.
Yeah.
They want to be able to find themselves.
It's always more fun.
Yeah.
For example, it's the complete opposite of, I think I read Crime and Punishment.
I was also thinking about The Death of Ivan Ilyich.
Yeah, by Dostoevsky.
Yeah.
The character is very flawed and very different
yeah.
to how the reader usually.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a sort of Russian way of writing things, so you also learn a lot, but more about one character, whereas in Murakami it's a wide variety of different characters that you learn about.
Also,
even in the short story.
This thing, because I study English, and this thing that we learned about was an objective narrator or an omniscient narrator.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Omniscient is where they very much know what is going on, and they kind of look into the thoughts of all characters, and
yeah.
they don't just describe what happens, but they also, like, why things happen. And a limited or an objective narrator really only just describes events and dialogue and doesn't really go into thoughts.
Okay, yeah, I know what you mean.
Especially with short stories, and maybe just with Japanese writers in general, it's usually a lot more of a limited narrator where we don't look into the mind so much.
I guess maybe that's Japanese culture as well. They're very reserved, very,
exactly.
like, they don't want to impose too much.
Yeah.
And in this case, the character doesn't impose at all. It's just very, he's quite secondary to his own, he kind of goes through the motions of what's going on without really having a huge influence on them.
Yeah.
For example, the whole trip, the whole story is not him who decides. He's just put in the situation. You see how he reacts.
Yeah.
So he, if nothing would have happened, he would have stayed home. But his wife dies, which causes him to dies. I mean, yeah, leaves. And then his coworker tells him to go, and he decides to go. And then the women tell him, "Let's go eat." He goes eat, and then they're like, "Let's go to a hotel." They go to a hotel. He's very he never takes the initiative.
Yeah, he's kind of just caught in this kind of current.
Exactly. Of the people, in this earthquake of other people.
Perhaps.
Maybe.
Yeah.
These cats are very distracting, by the way.
Yeah, there's.
There are two cats, and they're real happy to see us. But yeah, I think we've covered this story pretty well. Did you see any other major points we had to touch on?
No, it was really the main takeaway for me was what we just discussed with the type of character that was chosen.
Yeah, I think, yeah, characterization is a major part of Murakami's writing, yeah, which is maybe why so many people enjoy it.
Indeed.
But yeah. I was thinking that next week we could do maybe like a science fiction story, which I found. I don't know if you know of the author Isaac Asimov.
I do not.
Well, he's one of the most famous like science fiction authors.
Yeah.
He's quite old as well. I mean, he published like a while back. It's called The Last Question, and it's very futuristic. So, what happens in the future? And it's a short story. I chose a short story so we could have maybe a sooner podcast to make, because we're gonna try and make it more consistent. But
no promises.
No promises, but we'll try. Definitely gonna read a big novel as well.
Yeah.
That's gonna be a goal.
We were thinking about maybe doing something, a very classic novel.
That would be nice.
The lines of Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen.
Yes, viewers probably know about this one.
Yeah, you probably do.
Well, I have the PDF downloaded, so I'm ready to read it whenever.
So we might do that, and then, yeah, I'd love to do, because I never really choose to read science fiction on my own, but...
This is very classic science fiction as well, so it would be a good choice to have. And, yeah... I guess thank you for listening.
I guess that's it, yeah. That was
an interesting podcast.
We're coming up on 17 minutes.
Wow, not that long then.
No.
But next week we'll have a longer one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like you said, thank you for listening.
Don't forget to subscribe to all our accounts on different platforms.
Oh, yes.
Those listens are very valuable to us.
Yeah, and please, if you're someone who's listening and we don't know you, we'd love to hear, just like send us a message.
Yeah, like what's up, you know.
Or say something that you like about it or something.
Where you're from, that'd be interesting to know. But yeah.
I think that about wraps up this week's podcast of the...
Book Boys Podcast, number 12.
Number 12.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.